League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello and welcome to Goldbridge Saves Football, the podcast that discusses it all, and we will be discussing a lot on the show today. We've got the normal Pratt Pundit of the week, we've got the normal either ors, we've got a fantastic new quiz that you're going to absolutely love, and we're going to be saying enough is enough from the media. We will be talking about the weekend, and we're going to be delving into why are fans now the problem in football, when actually it's always been the media that drive their agendas around certain players, certain decisions. We'll be delving into that, and also, as usual, Will is next to me. How are you doing, Will?
Yeah, good. We're sort of playing away today, filming in a different location. I'll just say unknown location if you're listening. If you're watching, you can obviously see where we are, but get my Blues mention in early. Wayne Rooney's first game, defeated by Michael Carrick. I'm not really happy about it, but don't want to talk about it either, which you'll be pleased about.
I will, because we'll lose viewers and listeners. We're in the Football Failing studio. We were on the podcast this morning for them as well. Check that out. But look, Will, let's get straight into it. Enough is enough. This has to stop. I want to talk about the media-driven agenda, basically. I want to talk about, and it fits in lovely with the weekend, we will be talking about refereeing and the PGMOL.
Yeah,
I've got a very interesting thing to say about them that might actually shock people, but we'll keep that back for a bit, and the new quiz, which will be fantastic. But let's delve into this. I feel that football fans have become the bad guys and girls in football. Jordan Henderson gets booed, Harry Maguire gets booed. It's football fans. And the media seem to have held hands with the authorities and are going, look at those abusive football fans, they're the problem. And yet the media have always been the driver of agenda, way more than football fans. Football fans are the good guys. Football fans are the people that opposed the Super League. Football fans are the people that spend their hard-earned money to go home and away watching their team play. They're passionate. They care. The media don't. The media are driven by views and sensationalism. And I want to delve into that, because when I look at the weekend, I think there are so many big topics and wider topics as well. We can go back in the past and say we've seen a documentary about David Beckham recently. Was it fans on social media driving the dislike of David Beckham? No, because it didn't exist. It was newspapers. It was the TV stations. David Beckham's let his country down, and worse. So I want to delve into a bit of this, and I want to stop talking like I'm on Question Time as well. Look, let's start off with the weekend. I think one of the big things, and there's a few things, but one of the big things that caught my eye, and I know it caught yours, was the Arsenal-Chelsea game at Stamford Bridge, where it's a good game. 2-2, I think it was at the time. Jesus goes for a header. Sanchez takes him out. And I'm not talking about taking him out to Nando's for a drink.
No.
Plenty of nice Nando's in that area. Shout them out. But no, he literally clatters him. Ooh, all I heard from the media was, ooh, I hope he's okay. Just a bit of a stoppage in the game. But when it was Man United Wolves, you know what I heard? A lot of noise, Will, for a whole week about, I think that referee may have even got suspended. I think Wolves even got an apology. And this is what I mean about people don't realise how they're being manipulated. Well, can be manipulated. Some clever people like us don't get manipulated. I don't think many of our listeners do. But there will be people out there. And obviously we've seen the Maguire stats, which we'll talk about, and a few other examples of this. But is it not frustrating and wrong how certain events can be blown up all week into something huge like the Onana Wolves one, but in a bigger game, the Chelsea on Jesus one,
yeah,
is swept under the carpet?
I struggle with the phrase the media, because that's when we get into the realms of like when they're writing in the Captain Washington and that guy's got the thing on and he's like, fuck the media. Like, I think media's a big phrase because you're the media.
I'm not.
You are.
I refuse.
You're a part of the media.
I'm not.
That's what I mean. Media is so diverse now. Like, you obviously, the channels that you've got, the podcast.
But you
that
can't be sued if you say the media, because I'm not individually going after radio, written press, TV.
But that's what I'm
talking about old school media.
No, I know you are. But like, even, you know, our Match of the Day, they covered it as they covered it as one of their first points on the penalty decision. But I do think that there is a lot of maybe more sort of backhanders in terms of maybe some of the players that we might go on to mention and stuff like that, that hopefully gets focused on from their perspective. But then there's other stuff that just, you know, Man United drives news headlines. That's not a shocking statement to say. So when Manchester United have a decision like they did at Wolves, and, you know, 90% of the country wants Wolves to have a penalty, that's going to be a headline for the rest of the week. The Arsenal one is quite, yeah, different, because it sort of has gone under the radar. But after a week of, I know we'll come onto it later, where the officials did do pretty well, really, didn't they? But I struggle with the media as a phrase, because
that wasn't a cow walking and going, that was me. I always forget we're doing audio.
I am doing cow like shit at the moment, but that's another story for another day. Yeah, I just struggle
with that type of podcast.
It is. With that phrase, because I just think what we're doing, and especially with what you're doing with the audience as well, is like, you can show a different perspective to a wider audience, if that makes sense.
My issue is, and I think I've had it levelled against me personally over the last couple of weeks, but also it happens all the time, it's a collective. I feel that we're a community as fans, and we are passionate and we care, and we don't always get it right, and I'll be the first to say that, but it comes from a place of loving the game and caring about the game. I love football, so therefore I'm passionate about it and have been from a very young age. And I think that there has been a shift that needs to stop, whereby it's very easy at the moment, because, you know, fan community led content has infiltrated the media. We're doing it now. And it's become a target of, well, that's the problem with football. You know, we spoke about Paul Parker last week. I'm not going back into that. But if you read what he said about me, was like, you know, he doesn't even care about football. He doesn't know what he's on about football. He doesn't even like that club. And this is becoming more prevalent. And I think that there has to... The thing is, if you score a goal against the opposition, they either give in or they try and score a goal back. And I'm trying to score a goal back, because I'm saying the media throughout my life drives agendas. And they've almost... It's almost like the real problem in football is social media. And we see bad things on social media, the racism, the sexism, the homophobia. Of course, fans are responsible for that. Sir Bobby Charlton, we saw a clip of Man City fans singing a vile song. Fans can be vile. But the media are not out of that argument. And I think we saw a lot of different things over the weekend where fans can be manipulated, and we don't get as manipulated anymore. I mean, as I said, Graham Taylor, rest in peace, England manager, the newspapers cut half of his head off and put a turnip on it, you know, and that was what I grew up with. So, and it's not funny, because he's actually died as well.
Yeah.
He didn't die because of that, but it's.
No, but to be fair, from your point, if we were to post an image on social media now, and you were to do that,
about Harry Maguire with the top of his head as a Bosch fridge,
yeah,
that I would absolutely, quite rightly, be ridiculed and called an abuser.
Yeah.
And that, but the thing is, the media has always been that. And look, I think with, you know, let's go to another thing. Everton against Liverpool at the weekend should have been a second yellow card for Konate. We all established that.
Yeah.
The Kovacic one probably didn't get as much as it should have done, but it was a big mistake. The onside for Liverpool a couple of weeks ago, massive mistake. And again, because it's Everton.
But I think
it's Sean Dyche. Look at Dyche getting really cross.
But I thought Dyche covered that off. I can't call him Dyche. It's a mistake. Yeah. You never call Dyche unless he gives you permission to call him Dyche. But I think he covered that off well in the press conference afterwards by saying it was a big bear on the game, but he was sort of humble enough to admit Everton were the second team in that game. Like, they probably weren't going to win it. And he obviously had a big bearing on it.
But it's still my point is not that specific thing, but it's the way the story gets written. I mean, as I said, the Jesus foul from Sanchez should it have been a penalty? Well, I didn't think the Onana one for Wolves should have been, but it became a big story that the United were getting away with something, but for Chelsea, they're not getting away with something. I'm pretty sure the PGMOL did apologise to Wolves about it. I haven't seen an apology to Arsenal about it. And it's just, what I'm trying to say is that we still live in a world, we get accused of this, and I just don't do it, you know, where you've got an agenda and you drive an agenda, which I'll talk about in a minute. But we still live in a world where the media does drive agenda, and it's always been in football, and it's certainly in politics, and it still exists in football. I mean, on Saturday night, the Man United Sheffield United game, I'm watching it, and then this stat comes up in the bottom left hand corner about Man United with Maguire and Man United without Maguire, and it's 94% win with him and 54% without him. And then they flashed it up in the second half as well. And I watch Man United all the time, and I'm like, there's something really not right about this. And
but do you not think that's just because Maguire's the story at the moment?
But I think I don't think it helps Maguire, and I think it frustrates people, because what that's all about is the media trying to go, oh, fans who don't rate Maguire, they're abusive, they're bullies, he's a really good player, and here's the stats. And I see it all the time. You know, Ten Hag gets asked about Maguire all the time. The bottom line is with Maguire, from a fan perspective, is most Man United fans probably don't think he's good enough to play for Manchester United when everybody's fit. But right here, right now, he's had a couple of good games. Keep him in the team. It's as simple as that. No, there's no Man United fan going, get that prat out of our football club, we don't like him. It's about ability. But the media turn it into, oh, you know, Southgate contributed to it as well. The point is about that was propaganda. There's a producer at Sky there who has created something that should not be going on mainstream. For me, if I did that on this podcast or you did it, do you agree with putting something like that up on a Saturday night on a game that's completely and utterly misleading? Did you not know it's misleading? Because I can give you the stats.
Yeah, but to be fair, as a non-Man United fan, the story around Manchester United probably is still a bit about Harry Maguire. So
why, though?
Yeah, because he's one of the England's most expensive ever central defenders, playing at one of the biggest clubs in the country. There's a story around him, and rightly
but only because the media want it to be. I don't think the Man United fans want it to be. I don't think you want it to be.
No, I know. I'd like.
You really think he should be playing ahead of people like Varane and Martinez?
No, I don't. But I don't think there's a sort of. I think the big thing with the Maguire one is it's just has become a storm, and maybe that is, but the difficult thing maybe from your perspective is when you're doing the Man United stuff is you're a Man United fan, but now you're in a position where you have got such a large audience, and you're doing the media stuff where it's probably a little bit where you might be in the middle ground, if you know what I mean.
I think I see a lot of how the media work, and I think I see a lot about how fan content works and communities work. And I just want honesty, integrity and consistency. We're going to talk about refereeing in a minute. And I just think that when I'm watching the TV on a Saturday night and I see some producer at Sky that's put that together and it says, since October the 22nd, Man United's win ratio with Maguire starting is 94%. And I think there's casual fans who will go, well, Maguire should be starting. The stats can't lie.
Yeah.
But the stats do lie, because it's from October the 22nd, because if you go from September the 1st, he's lost three games, and it lowers that percentage down.
Yeah.
Also, the games without him, you've done 42 games.
Yeah.
The games with him, you've done 15. Also, the 15 games he's played are all cup games at home and relegation games at home. Sky Sports, BT, TNT, whatever they're called now, should not be putting stats like that out. You know, there's hipsters now. Mm. But it's low level. Like,
but I just think it's
low level. It's manipulative.
But to who?
To the millions who are watching.
But I see that. I'm not arsed. I'm like, oh yeah, maybe Maguire might.
But the people who believe it have been manipulated, because it's not true.
Yeah, but there's not going to be like protests on the street about Maguire starting for Manchester United.
I know. But what I'm saying is, we're happy that he's playing for Man United at the moment. He's doing quite well, but we don't need that's just British propaganda. The same thing is going on. I'm loving this. The same thing is going on with Ramsdale and Raya.
Yeah.
That it's like, we want the England goalkeeper in. We want the England centre-back to play for Man United. But we've got a Premier League that's diverse and has been for 30 years and is full of foreign players. And we are manipulating our media, some of our media and the collective. We're not targeting anyone here. they do manipulate. My point is,
no, but that,
fans are being attacked.
Yeah.
Like, fans are being attacked. Fans are toxic. Fans are this, and this.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet the media has always been and still remains very manipulative of the story that whatever producer, whatever journalist wants to write.
Yeah.
And that's always been the case, and it still is. And we need to remember that the media is not the guardian of intellectual, definitive, consistent quality output.
Yeah.
And it's still very manipulative and agenda driven.
And I think the thing with traditional media, even with like the realm that we work in, is they can't control the sort of fan aspect and the way it's grown, and like, you know, the rise of your popularity and friends that we've got in the space that have grown and have their own audience. They can't control that. So you look at way some of traditional broadcasters treat some content creators and have them on and just like, oh, you know, let's put you. I used to do a show on Five Live called The Squad, and it was on at 11 o'clock before.
Was someone in your ear telling you what to say?
No, it was before. It was 11 o'clock before the main commentary used to come on, and there's no way that show should have been in that slot, because, you know, if you're a traditional Five Live, one, you don't want me listening, coming in your ear in more ways than one. And I just think the way that they traditional media sometimes treats people like us, they just like, well, we need to do that to sort of get this age demographic sorted. And I think that needs sorting out, because, yeah, like with what you do and everything, it's, and what we do, which there is a massive audience there.
Yeah, you know what it is? I think that there's been so much innovation in this space over the last few years. And
It's the fear that some aspects, and they've not adjusted quickly enough, and now they're sort of running scared.
Well, I think the standards have gone up.
Yeah.
I think the standards have gone up. You know, going back to the Wolves' treatment of the Onana foul and then the way that the Arsenal-Chelsea one's been dealt with, football fans are intelligent enough to know that there's complete disparity there, and why is one story massive and one's the not when it's the same thing? You might be right, Man United. You know, you've got those Harry Maguire stats from October the 22nd that I don't think do Maguire any favour, because they're over-egging the pudding and making it out like that.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you go on to Twitter and there'll be some, you know, somebody who does stats who actually comes out with something really interesting about Jude Bellingham at Real Madrid, or why Alexi McAllister is the hidden gem for Liverpool. And you go, that's where stats work really well, not manipulated ones to push an agenda about something else. I guarantee you, next Arsenal game on the TV, the line from one media outlet, could be TV, could be radio, could be written press, will be stats with Raya in goal compared to Ramsdale. That's coming, because yeah, yeah, they want Ramsdale in goal. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just calling it out that we get a lot of criticism as fans, and the media have suddenly taken this position of being almost with the Premier League and with the PGMOL. You know, we're authoritative. They've always been agenda-driven, and they still very much are agenda-driven. And, you know, it should. I don't want that. I don't want agendas in the media, because I think they have a bigger responsibility.
Yeah, and I'm sat here wearing a Jude Bellingham shirt, and part of the reason that I was happy he went to Real Madrid was because I didn't want him as a, and he's a very mature 19, 20-year-old, coming over to England, because as soon as he goes to a big club, the spotlight and the sort of maybe the traditional stuff, and, you know, even everything that we're in, sort of, I think he'd be fine, but it just becomes another level over here, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. An English player, a future star boy, well, a current star boy, and I just think that could potentially ruin players and has done in the past, you know, speaking of Beckham. So I'm glad he did that. I think the main thing is, from a traditional media sense, it's they're working backwards to what's happened with, you know, what you've done, what other people have done. And I just, they don't get it right a lot of the times.
Yeah, I just think if you are a mainstream outlet, you know, why are you manipulating stories and stats to suit an agenda that you don't need to do? Like, why couldn't they go from the start of the season with Maguire's stats?
Which probably for him to make a mistake in that game and then the thing to be on the lower third to be on the screen at the time it happens.
Why can't they, you know, why can't the Everton second yellow card be a massive story, you know? But look, we are topical on the podcast, but we are here to discuss, it's Goldbridge Saves Football. We're here to delve into some of the things that we think are not as good as they could be. We're here to make football better. We love football. And I think that as we move into the either ors, which will bring some of the topical elements of the weekend in, and we've got this brilliant quiz that you've got to listen to. I just want to, and Pratt Pundit of the Week, which is very good, driven by Will, who is not the Pratt Pundit of the Week, but you could be.
I probably said something on the fill-in today that makes me a Pratt.
I could be as well. But let's just revisit something that's not only topical, but an issue that we've been trying to solve in football, the officiating, PGMOL. There were decisions this weekend that were, well, we've already spoken about one, the Konate one, Pawson, I don't think was very good. But one thing I will call out, and it might be a very small thing in a cake of offness.
Shit.
Yeah, a shit cake.
Shitty cake.
I did quite like the consistency around three handball decisions on Saturday. Obviously, we started off with the Liverpool one.
Yeah.
The Chelsea one.
Yeah.
And then I believe the Manchester United one with McTominay.
Yeah.
All very similar handballs from Saliba, and there was the Michael Keane one and the McTominay one.
Yes.
On any other weekend, I really do think two are a penalty and one's not, or two's a penalty and one's not. Yeah, to get three right, it might be a small win and next week it won't happen. But I've got to say, I sat there and went, on handballs, forget the bloody second yellows, on handballs, on that Saturday, on three televised games, they got it right.
Yeah, no, they did.
Consistency.
Yeah, consistency there. But then it's just, we've just come off the backdrop of talking about where Sanchez takes out Jesus. And for whatever reason, it's not being talked about. And that's probably not only a foul, but like really, really endangering a player.
But that will be another agenda that gets pushed, because Howard Webb, quite rightly, will now be going, on Saturday, on three televised games, look at that, we've got the handballs right. Yeah. And it won't be any conversation. The Sanchez foul will get pushed away. The second yellow card from Everton will get pushed away. But look, it's a shit show. It's a shit cake.
Yeah.
And we've got to take the small wins. My only fear, Will, is that next weekend, one of those handballs won't get given. And we just need that consistency.
Yeah, but that fear is always going to be there, isn't it? Just because of we've spoken about it before, the people that referee in this country are just not up to standard and where they need to be. And I've said numerous times, if you think the EFL are going to be bringing the next crop of referees talent through, you've got another thing coming.
He has said it before. Did you think, I think the Michael Keane one, it looks like he's hailing a taxi. McTominay moves his hand out towards it. The only one that might be a little bit dubious was Saliba.
I think when you're in the air, forward.
And also, Mudrick heads it onto his hand from about a metre away, I think. But ultimately,
if it's come off the week back of a weekend when they've all been given, I think that's fine.
Yeah, and I know some people disagree, but actually, I can take on board that Saliba hasn't meant it. He's in a natural position, but I think it should still be a penalty, because if we get that consistency, that if it hits your arm, in the penalty box, it's going to be a penalty.
Blocking a shot.
Then you're going to get some unlucky ones.
Yeah.
But you're going to get consistency.
Yeah. No, I think, let's just try and keep the consistency.
Yeah.
Let's be consistently consistent.
Let's just be consistent at being consistent everywhere.
Yeah.
That's what I'm all about, really. Consistency.
Have you read Atomic Habits about how to get your consistency up?
No.
No, that's a good one to read. I've not read it.
Atomic Kitten?
No. Atomic Kitten's a great band.
Yeah.
Atomic Habits.
I don't like that Katona.
No.
She can go to Iceland, get in the bloody freezer.
That's your agenda against Katona, though.
Yeah.
You've got,
that is an agenda.
That is an agenda.
Could be a nice person. Probably should be picking on the other Atomic Kittens. Don't know their names. Just go for the obvious target, Katona. Let's get her stats up.
Yeah.
Actually, she...
Number one since Katona left Atomic Kitten, zero.
Yeah.
Ones with Katona in four.
Yeah.
And that's the agenda.
That's the
and you've
agenda.
Got, you've not been consistent there.
I've not.
We've come full circle.
Yeah.
Should we pick on some Prats?
Yes. I like the either ors because they're topical.
Okay, we'll go into that then. Let's do that straight away.
I like them both.
Yeah, you love it all. Do you want to start with the one that is very topical, Raya or Ramsdale?
Well, this is an agenda that's coming from the mainstream. I'm actually going to go against it. I mean, I have noticed this a lot. I mean, I'm going to go back a little bit because this happened with David De Gea last year. Every time I turned the TV on or picked a paper up, it was just this torrent of piling on to David De Gea. Even Roy Keane was at it, on, even though he was having a good season and the clean sheet. So the reason they did that is because, really, they wanted Henderson in goal or whatever. It's happening with Ramsdale. I think Ramsdale should be England number one, but he can't be England number one when he's not playing for Arsenal. So I sort of get where it's coming from. I listen to the radio, watch the TV. I think it's coming from the place that this is a really talented English goalkeeper playing for a Premier League club that went for a title last year. And I get the agenda here. It is that they want Ramsdale in goal because he's English and they want him to be England number one. I think for some people it is. They don't like it. It is that I think it is the English be foreign. Oh, it is. It is with some. It definitely is with some.
No, but yeah, coming off the back of this weekend, I can think of two, maybe three mistakes that Rea made. The cross should have been a better position in, and that's coming from Dave Watson, a goalkeeper coach. The one he
passed it out,
caught up on. I think there was one other one as well. But I think the thing for that is comes from going into this season, not as an Arsenal fan, we didn't expect the goalkeeper position or thought it needed to be improved, really.
No, Arteta has certainly made a rod for his own back here. He's got the whip out and so, now he's going to moan about getting a few lashes.
You'd say Ramsdale...
Maybe he likes that on the weekend.
Ramsdale should be number one for Arsenal.
No.
Come on.
No.
You're being silly there.
No.
You're agenda-driven there.
I'm not agenda-driven here. This is where definitive explanation comes into it and analysis. That bought me some time.
Yeah, nice.
I think that Ramsdale should have been the number one if Rea wasn't going to be bought. But the minute he buys Rea, you've got to go with Rea. And the mistakes that Rea have made, he can't put Ramsdale back in because then when Ramsdale makes a mistake... I predicted this in the summer. You can't have two goalkeepers because I think Rea might be making mistakes because he's aware of Ramsdale. I think if you put Ramsdale in, he might make mistakes because he's aware of Rea. Arteta has created this and therefore... I go Rea because that's the goalkeeper that Arteta brought in. He can't.
No, but you're not. Oh, who do you want in goal? If Man United I have to buy one of them,
Rea.
Man
United. I think Rea's the better goalie. I do. I'm a big fan of Rea.
Yeah.
I do. I like Ramsdale, but I prefer Rea. I think he's a better goalkeeper. But I admit, this is a. It's a bit like Havertz, isn't it? He's created a problem for Odegaard. Have you noticed the drop off in Odegaard? This is a great point for a podcast, actually. This is what we can do.
And this is a podcast.
Freestyler. So we're going to go, he's dropped off Odegaard.
I'm going to tell you. Many clips at the moment, but we're definitely clipping that.
Why has Odegaard fell off?
Don't know, you tell me.
Don't you know?
No.
He's fell off because of Havertz. It's very similar to the goalkeeping situation. Arteta has brought a player in to the fold that has actually disrupted one of his better players. Odegaard, for me... even as a United fan, is an incredible player. But this season, he's fell off. And the reason he's fell off is because at the start of the season, he's trying to fit Havertz and Odegaard into the team with Declan Rice. Odegaard's used to playing with Partey and Xhaka, who do the defensive work, and he has the freedom. Havertz comes in, he's in my space. He's sharing my sandwich. What's going on? Havertz is out the team now.
Have you ever shared a sandwich?
I can't remember what a full sandwich is like.
Have you ever shared a sandwich?
With the wife.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
But Joey, back, because this is Rea or Ramsdale.
Wouldn't share a sandwich with you.
You would.
I'd share an egg cress sandwich with you. In fact, you can have it all.
Well, I don't want to share an egg cress sandwich with you.
Who has cold egg in a sandwich?
I had a cold egg sandwich this morning with avocado.
You should be in a...
Maybe that's why my guts have got us.
You should be in a prison.
Right, yeah, maybe.
Food prison.
It stink.
How long did he get? 3 years.
Imagine the farts in that prison.
Can I come out early release and have bail? Are you going to eat cold egg sandwich? Yes. No, you're staying in. You're a danger to food.
Been making a few early releases. Rea or Ramsdale, we were speaking as well, because the one with Ramsdale, he's been through that season with Arsenal where they've pushed Man City all the way, and he, for some games, was at fault for, was the one on the Friday night where was it Bournemouth they lost to, or drew in the end? Southampton. He was at fault for like two or three games with the cost and points. But he's been through that, and from the outside, he looks like the character that would really embrace that and say, I've learnt from that. This season, I'm really going to implement it. I'm Arsenal's number one. I'm pushing for England's number one. And we're going to push on for the title. And then straight away, Arteta buys Rea. And it just causes...
He's been treated badly.
Yeah.
He's been treated badly. Let's not call...
And he's handled it really well, I think.
And De Gea got treated badly by United as well.
Yeah.
But if he brings Ramsdale back in... He needs to leave Rea out for the rest of the season. But that won't happen. And this is what I mean. He's got, you know, Anana's had a bad start at United. Yeah. There's another goalie there. Some people have said drop Anana, but I'm like, he spent 50 million quid on him. He's got to stick with him.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll go Rea.
No, I'd definitely go Ramsdale, 100%. Well, it's your podcast.
Well, no, but people are listening. We'll do it as a poll. There we go. Next.
Villa or Manchester United? Who do you think is going to finish higher this season? Now, this is really...
Who sent this shit in?
Tim.
Tim.
Tiny Tim.
Tim, nice but dim.
Who do you think is going to finish higher? But I also think it ties into a bigger conversation around this top four, top six is really, 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 really heating up.
You won't be able to see this, but
you look like you've eaten an egg and cress.
I'm rubbing my eyebrows. Yeah. Villa or Man United? Well, look, Villa are a better team than Man United at the moment. I've got no shame in
better 11 or better squad.
Just better. I don't know. They're a better team. Have they got better individuals? You could argue about that. Have they got a better coach? You could argue about that. But at the moment, they've got a better coach and a better team, and they're performing better. Will they finish above Man United? It's a long way to. It's a long, long way from May to December. That's not what. That doesn't work.
Did you make that up yourself then?
No, there used to be a sitcom called May to December years ago.
Really? Yeah, any good?
I watched it. There was nothing else to watch. I didn't have any phone.
Yeah, that was actually not too bad.
Everyone in it would be dead.
Well, I didn't need to get straight to that. Circle
of life. I think that Man United could finish above Villa because they might run out of petrol.
What a world we live in where you have to say Manchester United could finish above Aston Villa.
But Villa are better than Man United at the moment. So on an either or, right now, Villa are better than Man United. I have to. Only a fool would say not.
Where do you think they will finish there retrospectively?
Man United have the potential to, and the squad to.
But Man United, better. Yeah.
But I think Villa.
Villa are at their peak now, where Manchester United, to be fair to you, still have a lot of injuries.
Man United, Chelsea could come through and surpass the Brightons and the Villas and the Spurs. They could. I'm not saying it will happen. Yeah. It doesn't look likely at the moment.
I just think even you mentioned Onana there, and to be fair to him, he's probably suffered from not having a Varane and Martinez in front of him every week.
But he's got 94% win rate, Maguire in front of him.
Yeah.
Johnny Evans has won his last three Premier League games starting for Man United.
No, I'm trying to help you out. Yeah,
bringing in the stats.
I'm just saying Manchester United have got a lot of injuries, and it is fun for some fans to laugh at Manchester United when they're scraping by Sheffield United.
We have won our last two games.
Yeah, congratulations. But yeah, I do think Villa will finish above Manchester United, and you know how much that hurts me to say.
Mm. Well, they're better than Man United at the moment. That was the question, either or.
Yeah, and it's a clear philosophy from Unai Emery, and he's not just doing that on the pitch as well, it's throughout the whole club as well, isn't it, with their recruitment. I think they've got that pretty much spot on since he's joined.
We'll be able to judge Man United's season by the progressive weeks in the podcast of either ors for Man United. I'm hoping in the coming weeks it's going to be things like Spurs or Man United or Liverpool or Man United, but if it starts becoming Brentford or Man United,
just goes down and then, down. Luton or Manchester United,
I'm big trouble then.
Should Manchester United re-sign Tahith Chong? That's when you know you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Moving on to one that's not so topical, but it is sort of topical based on our podcast. A great question that I came up with, it's actually a friend of mine, he got in touch.
You haven't got any friends, come on.
I have, Houston 44, if you want to add him on PlayStation, should I say that? You can block friend requests, can't you? That's fine, who cares?
No one will do it.
Yeah, no one will do it, no one cares.
Put your phone number out now, no one will ring it.
Yeah, probably not.
I'll start doing it. 07.
You don't know my phone number. The current Manchester United side, as it lives and breathes now, players and manager, or the overrated 11 that we produced on Friday, 11 and manager, who would you rather have?
Well, the 11 on Friday was Onana
in goal, Reece James right back, Cucurella left back, Diaz
and Fofana
centre back, Casido, Havertz and Calvin Phillips centre mid,
Sancho,
Richarlison, Grealish, with Maurizio Pochettino as manager.
You know what? It's a great question, but I'd stick with the United team.
Really?
Yeah. Because
that with your red blinkers on?
No, because Onana's the same.
Yeah, correct.
Calvin Phillips, whatever.
No, but Calvin Phillips is in a bad spot right now.
Yeah.
We could be getting... You got Pochettino with Calvin Phillips. Are you getting...
Havertz.
Yeah.
Mikasido's good. Reece James fit is good. Fofana fit.
Cucurella's been having some good games.
Cucurella's done all right. But that front three, Grealish, Richarlison and Sancho.
Goals. No. Yeah, but you're thinking of Adam now, thinking of peak performance.
I'm thinking about United as peak performance.
Man United's front three peak performance? Rashford.
Hoyland.
Anthony.
Yeah. No, I've answered the question.
Yeah, but I think the big one for you is you've got an agenda against Pochettino.
I think Pochettino's overrated.
But that's why he was in the overrated 11.
Who do you think is better manager, Pochettino or Arteta? Considering Pochettino's got a rich tapestry CV, I still say Arteta.
I probably would go Arteta. But then,
so therefore, Pochettino is overrated because he gets held up as... Look at him, he's pulling a face now.
But no, but I was going to say, where do you... I feel like Arteta's not had that defining moment yet. Like, he could finish fifth this season and be sacked. And then I would say Pochettino. But I don't see that happening either.
Pochettino's a good coach. What he did at Southampton, what he did at Spurs. But PSG was very unimpressive, and Chelsea is a project yet to be written. I think Pochettino, every time a job comes up, he's been linked with Real Madrid,
yep.
He's been linked with Manchester United. I think that's overrated. I don't think that Pochettino actually should be held up as that level of a coach based on what he's done in the game.
Yeah.
Now, if he turns Chelsea into a title contender,
yeah.
You deserve it.
Yeah.
And maybe we were wrong. Maybe when everyone else was ahead of the game.
And we'd hold our hands up.
And we'd hold our
actually,
hands
no,
up.
Actually, no, I don't want to put myself into it. I like Pochettino.
Yeah, but he's overrated.
One of the other ones here was from JWS Dragon, I think. He said, Arsenal or Spurs, who has the best? Who's going to finish higher this season? It comes after a lot of chat. We keep, you know, we're recording this Monday. We've got a huge game for Tottenham tonight. They need to win that to keep the momentum up. But they are the feel-good club at the moment, aren't they?
It's a bit like saying, who will finish higher, Brighton or Newcastle? Who will finish higher, Villa or Manchester United? Who will finish higher, Spurs or Arsenal? And the reality is, you can make a very strong case for Spurs, but I look at Arsenal, they've got the know-how, they've got the squad.
Yeah,
I think you have to go Arsenal based on... It's like saying Man City will win the league. I think Man City will win the league.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're going to. But yeah, logically, I'd say Arsenal. But I really do hope Spurs can last the distance.
Yeah, no, I know. Like we said before, we won a title race that goes down to the final day. Breaking it up a little bit, one young lad called Will Brazier from Bromsgrove put in a question. He says, which current player or manager or football personality deserves a Last Dance-style documentary? Now, I put this in because at the weekend, I don't know if you saw, Jose Mourinho, I think that Roma beat Monza 1-0. And fantastic that they've won. But Mourinho's gone in. He's given it the crying emojis to the other bench, gets a red card. He's absolutely proud as punch. But for me, and even conversations like we had last week, personalities, stories are what really get me into football. And I miss a bit of Mourinho. You know, I'm never going to have him as Birmingham City manager. But I think it just got me thinking about his rich tapestry of stories, clubs and history. And I think when he sits down for him to tell it, and all the people around it, you know, like when he was in the washing basket, when he couldn't get to the game, all the other stories and the amazing stuff he's won, I think that is primed for prime.
Yeah. I think you've hit the bullseye there, because Mourinho's story would be really good. But you know what? I'd like to know that Mourinho story. I thought the David Beckham one was done really, really well. But is there... You know, I almost feel we're going to fall into the world of what happened after the Last Dance with the Michael Jordan one, where you got things that weren't as good. I quite like what the Tom. I think Mourinho works, but are we not just going to wander into the world of Michael Owen now and Rio Ferdinand?
Well, I mean, we've got a Calvin Phillips Amazon Prime documentary.
That's what I mean.
Maybe there needs to be like a board that sit down once a month. Maybe it should happen with podcasts as well, and maybe we'd get banned. But they say, right, you've got a license to go and create a documentary because that is an interesting story.
Yeah. Well, the Beckham one was brilliant because, I mean, look at you've got the abuse, the Spice Girl,
the
playing across lots of different teams, winning a treble. Is there a player out there at the moment that you'd go, I'd love to know that story? He's got everything in that.
Well, we've not had a Messi told by Messi.
I think Messi and Ronaldo stories would be quite boring.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. I don't think there's enough drama there. I think
you've got the thing with the Last Dance,
and they're so protected brand wise, aren't they? I don't think you're going to get nothing about affairs or anything like that.
No,
abuse, they've not really had that.
No, you've got to learn. The thing with Last Dance was good was because most people over here, I didn't know the story. I knew Chicago Bulls were good, but I didn't know how close it was. But then
Beckham's is probably the closest I've seen to the Last Dance, because there's loads of... You want the vulnerability of life, don't you? You want the challenge of life. You want the pitfalls. You want the barriers. You want the trips. You want the falls. You want the climbing back on the horse. Mourinho would be very good because he's had a few.
And the start of it as well. Like him just being a translator, working under that Bobby Robson tree.
His would be brilliant. There will... people will get into the question, the comments on the podcast, like Spotify and that, and give us some suggestions. But one doesn't jump to mind. I tell you what, I wouldn't mind R9, Ronaldo. Quite interesting one.
I don't know if it's been told by him, but there's a good one that's out on DAZN.
Yeah.
That, absolutely brilliant, because it really touches on his Inter story and then coming back from injury and then it just like his knee blowing, and you don't actually realise how class he was.
Rooney might be quite interesting, done properly.
He did that they did the Amazon Prime Rooney one, and they like it was focused a lot around of his England career.
Yeah.
So I came away thinking he was a failure.
I've just remembered I watched the Rooney one because it was like when he was at Everton and stuff.
It was at Everton, and then it touched on England major tournaments.
Not much of Man United.
There wasn't much of Man United at all, and like I just came away from it thinking he was a lesser player than he was.
They need to do a proper four Netflix. I did watch that one, the Rooney one. I think it just, again, that's the problem if you do it badly as well, isn't it? I don't know, I'm saying it was terrible, but I think it could have been done better.
Yeah.
The Netflix one, the way they had the guy who was in Succession as the narrator and all the people they spoke to.
Oh, he annoyed
to.
Me a little bit.
Yeah, but when I knew who it was, he didn't.
Right.
Because I like Succession. Okay. I did actually think, who is this? And not in an American way.
Well, it's fine if it is.
But
one who's primed for one in the future. Big JB5. Now that's a story that needs telling.
Yeah, yeah. But I think what we'll end up with is Rio Ferdinand,
actually,
Michael Owen, Lampard, Gerrard will do what? Gerrard, those lot.
I've got the ultimate arc. Gareth Southgate. When we win the Euros and then go on to win the World Cup, the redemption from 96.
I meant to tell you, actually, I got invited to, you know, the musical.
Oh, yeah.
I got invited to the opening night of that.
Are we going?
Last week.
Why are you telling me that?
Just remembered.
There's a big Southgate sympathiser, you're telling me a week later.
I was quite chuffed that I got invited.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know.
Well, that's someone not doing their job right on the PR perspective, is it?
Yeah. He knows I don't like him.
But that's the that should be
as a
the
football coach.
That should be the ultimate one. When we win the tournament. We're moving on. Speaking of maybe a couple of Pratt decisions, should we have a look at our Pratt Pundit of the Week?
Yeah, you've got the Creme de la Month. You've got the...
I've the Pratt Pundit of the Year.
The trifle, so to speak.
Do you have sherry in your trifle?
I'm not a big... I'd rather just have a glug of sherry.
I don't like sherry and it should stay away.
Warms you up.
It should stay away from a trifle.
I don't like them little twatty sherry glasses.
No, yeah.
They're just, what's that about? I'll have a sherry. No.
You own some of them, don't you?
Rest in peace, Gran. I had a couple, and I'm not, I can use the term Pratt in an endearing way. And there was a couple I noticed off the radio. There was one about...
Alan Pardew, was it you meant?
Alan Pardew said that maybe we should have a sin bin in football.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I was sort of stuck in... I thought it was a good one to bring into the podcast because I was like, is it a Pratt comment of the week or actually is it quite intelligent?
I quite like that. I'm watching the rugby at the weekend.
I think it would be massively problematic, though.
Well, I think what it gives you time for, though, like the rugby at the weekend, something happened. It was a head-to-head thing. And they were like, you've got a yellow, but we're going to take our time for 10 minutes to see if we upgrade it to a red rather than, right, you know what it's like in football. You've got a yellow, review that. Everyone's watching, you're at the monitor, crowd are in your ears. It doesn't bring a lot of sort of objectivity in, does it?
Or no.
Is that the right word? So I think with that, you take it away, then you've got 10 minutes to sort of, right, carry on the game. Actually, we are upgrading that to a red card. We've took our time.
I the reason I thought it was a contender for Pratt Pundit of the Week is because it's just finding a way to fix something that's broken, i.e. yellow card, red card works when you've got the consistency.
Yeah.
And if you haven't got the consistency with yellow card and red card, how are you then going to stick a sin bin in? Because I suppose if you look at the weekend, when would Ashley Young get the sin bin then? The second yellow card?
No, but maybe sin bins could be in for like an orange card where they go, oh, hang on, we think this could be a red.
You know the quality of refereeing in this game.
No, but I think that's quite clear though when there's some of those decisions where you think, right, let's just take our time, not leave one still on the screen and maybe have like 5 minutes to sort of actually, you know, watch it through and take it out of the referee's hand where we can go, we've watched it back, he's absolutely tried to kill him, give him a red.
I don't think it works. I'm actually going to say it's a Pratt comment of the week. I think he's not thought it through in his head and gone, this will work. But what would be a sin bin? Like a two-footer? No. Studs up? No.
Mm.
And yellow cards, pulling a shirt back?
I say yellow cards, no. I just say it's exclusively for ones that are bordering on red cards, which is what they took.
I mean, look how they struggle with handballs.
No, but I'm just talking
Imagine that. You're Birmingham, you've got to imagine a lot. You're in the Premier League for a start. But you're playing Man United. It's at Old Trafford. 10 minutes to go, 0-0. You're playing quite well. Casemiro goes in hard on a tackle and the referee goes, sin bin.
Yeah.
10 minutes. There's 20 minutes to go. You don't score.
Yeah.
And then Casemiro comes back on. We score.
Yeah, but that would be fine because they'd have said, took their time, and hope, like, this obviously where the consistency ties in, but they've taken the time to go, no, it wasn't actually
they'd
a bad
foul. They'd never figure out what's a yellow, what's a red, and what's an orange.
What they need to do is take more people out of that VAR room, because that VAR audio, where you've got the lad who's the video assistant.
Like us now.
Yeah, assistant. What do you mean?
Like, you know, different opinions.
I thought you meant you need to take me out.
No.
Trying to.
The other one I had very, very quickly was, because I'm aware we want to get onto this new quiz, was... Rory on TalkSport saying that Haaland's not a big game player. Now, he said a year ago that he thought Haaland would flop. I do like Rory, but I do think Haaland... I find, again, look, we've had a bit of pop at the media, but I think, in general, football has become very flippant in the sense that you don't score a couple of goals and you're not a big game player. Like, maybe it's an age thing, I don't know, but, like, FIFA generation, I think they think that... I've seen it with like Saliba at the weekend, not world class. Look at these mistakes. And I'm like, every player goes through a bad run.
Yeah.
Every player makes a mistake. Erling Haaland's the best striker in the world. To say he's not a big game player, what does that even mean?
Like, well, he's just the victim of his own success, isn't he? Because...
But what does it mean? Like, if he's in a Champions League final, he's through one-on-one on his left foot. Oh, it's a big game. I'm going to miss. It's. I know some players aren't big game players, and I know what that means. They just can't.
Yeah.
You know, they can't, you know, some people are Championship players, they're not Premier League players. But Erling Haaland's the best striker in the world. I don't think he's got a block in his head because it's a Champions League final or it's an FA Cup final. I think he's a player that's reliant on service. And if he doesn't get service, he can't do what Mbappe or Messi does. That's the thing. He's a goal scorer. And he will miss chances, but he's a goal scorer.
Yeah.
Simple.
Do you want to go on to the big one then?
Yeah.
So it was Sunday morning yesterday as of recording, sat there scrolling through Twitter, pops up. I actually watched it and thought, yeah, wait a minute. Jake Humphrey, High Performance Podcast. I'm sure we're big fans of it. So it's not really... I can say
I've never listened to it.
Okay. There's some good episodes out there.
Stop promoting other podcasts.
Get in touch.
Promote the fill-in, that's it.
Yeah. Anyway, Jake Humphrey's put a podcast clip out. Gordon Ramsay's on. So we're picking this because Humphrey's a sports personality and Ramsay played for Rangers.
Yeah.
So we're tied in. Ramsay basically saying it's high performance, so you take life lessons out and what can you apply to life and, you know, lead a high performance life. Well, Ramsay says one time when he was in his 20s, needed 20 grand for a house deposit, went to his stepdad and said, look, I need 20 grand for a house deposit. And his stepdad said, we can have this conversation again, but when you sell your Porsche. So he goes back and he was like, wow, yeah, probably do need to sell my Porsche. So he sold his Porsche. But the big life lesson was... 10 years later, he bought back the same Porsche. Now, social media...
He's a winner.
24.5 million views. Is Humphrey a genius? Not self-aware? Does he know exactly what he's doing? Because the podcast trailer went out this morning. There's a lot more sort of rags-to-riches stories to be told about Ramsay, you know, starting life on a council estate, all the other stuff about that. But...
I don't think Humphrey's a genius. I think his runners and producers are geniuses, yeah. This happened with that...
Or is it not? They're not self-aware, like, as they think that's an actual story.
I saw the clip. There's no way he's self-aware. There's no way Gordon Ramsay's sort of self-aware. I've seen the clip. You know, I've played the game. You know, I've interviewed people in my life. I've spent a lot of time talking with people. That is not a setup. That is completely and utterly... Jake Humphrey's sat there going... You almost see Jake Humphreys go, this is not going to resonate with my audience. It's almost a pin drop in his head. And Ramsay's just telling a story that he thinks is a bit like, you know, I used to work down mines and I used to eat a shit sandwich. But I think that, yeah, I think with... It happened with that Millie May or whatever her name is who goes out with Tommy Fury. She did the one with the... Was it Stephen Barton? Where she said, you know, if you're from a poor background... there's no excuse. There's 24 hours in a day. And I think she was taken a bit out of context.
Yeah,
maybe,
yeah.
But a lot of people jumped on her saying, well, you know, it's not easy to do that. I think whenever you talk, you know, selling your Porsche to get a deposit on your house is never going to go down well when there's a, you know, throwing things out like, you know, energy price crisis all that.
But I think the chat around Humphrey's interesting because, like, growing up and wanting to get into sports media, he was sort of, you know, he did the F1, he's in the Premier League for 10 years.
Blue Peter,
yeah. And for whatever reason, for, like, Bamzuki, but for the last couple of years, I don't know, it's just sort of...
Fell off?
Not fell off, it's just the public perception of even... I don't know him, and he comes across like a nice guy, and I'm sure if we had a drink with him, he'd be lovely. But from that public perception, it sort of changed to this, you know, high performance... Let's focus on this. And there is quite a bit of like lack of self-awareness. But then he'll probably say, you know, I don't really care what people think. That's high performance.
I think it's the football focus thing. I think reality is mainstream is struggling. Football focus is apparently on the chopping board, which is a shame because I liked it growing up. Didn't they have something new last year with Jermaine Genius on it?
That's
it was
gone.
Meant to be all
that's
like cred and you know
gone.
Music and that gone. You know, they've thrown the dart. It's hit the chip board. It's not hit the bullseye. And I think bottom line, either or, Will.
Yeah.
Laura Woods or Jake Humphries. Our survey said Laura Woods. Bing! Top answer.
Yeah, but 5 years ago, I'd have gone Jake Humphries.
But that's what I'm talking about. I don't think it's anything more sinister than that. I just think that...
Time moves on.
He's just not...
And that gives more credit anymore. To Gary Lineker and how much of a great career he's had. Am I right, Mark? I'm not wrong. Should we move on to the quiz?
Yeah.
You don't answer that one. So we had a little vote. Football Hangman has been binned.
Well, I expect this to be trending on Tuesday. Football Hangman is gone. Hashtag bring back Football Hangman. But I've actually, basically, if Football Hangman and me...
If Football Hangman was your office, this could be your extras.
This is basic. Yeah.
No, sorry.
Right. I've evolved. Football Hangman wasn't mine. This is mine. So I wanted to keep something that can be for everybody to play at home, but also get a competitive element in. So what we're doing is, and we need a name for this, the Goldbridge Shootout, I think I'm going to call it, or something like that.
It just needs to be like gold pen, like Goldbridge Shootout.
Yeah. Which is what I just said. So basically what happens is, instead of Football Hangman, where it was 10 guesses and then 10 clues as to the player, Will's got a player, I've got a player.
Yeah.
He's going to go with his player and give me a clue. 5 clues, right? If I get it on the first one, I get 5 points. If I get it on the second one, I get 4 points. And then I'll do it. And then we'll end up, could be 5-5, could be whatever.
Nice.
But we've got to play it to do
are
it.
We should have talked about this before we come on air, but are we doing a...
Back and forth.
A back and forth?
No, because I think that might make the
okay.
person do...
Do you want me to start then?
Yeah.
Okay. I was born on the 11th of October, 1988. Quick maths, that makes me 35 years old.
35 years of age, I will say Jordan Henderson.
Incorrect. Okay. Oh, sorry, yeah. I was raised in Ireland, County Donegal, and played Gaelic football until I was a teenager.
He's Irish then.
Correct. Yeah, well done, you're deciphering the clue.
Johnny Evans.
Incorrect. I think that's Northern Ireland, and you probably just stepped on some toes there. I don't know.
No, I lived in Ireland, and actually, I apologise for that. I should have got it, but I do struggle with anything outside of Dublin and Belfast.
That's fine. I made my professional debut for Sligo Rovers in 2006, going on to make 56 appearances for the club.
Oh, you know what? Putting this in Ireland, you are making me in a very dangerous area here. Because if I keep guessing players from Northern Ireland, I'm in trouble.
Well, you've done Johnny Evans. And
McLean. James.
James McLean?
Yeah.
Incorrect. Clue number 4 for 2 points. I moved to the Premier League in...
I know who it is now.
2009, costing a grand total of £60,000 amid interest from unsuccessful clubs such as Celtic, Ipswich Town and Birmingham City.
Seamus Coleman.
Correct, for 2 points.
So I got 2 points. There we go. That's how it works.
Nice.
Right, my one is...
That was quite good clues by me.
Yeah, very good clues.
Thank you.
You've gone for the same theme as me.
An Irish right-back from Everton?
Nope.
Oh, good.
I'm going to start off. I currently play in the Premier League for West Ham.
Jared Bowen.
No. I've got 11 England caps.
James Ward-Prowse.
Oh, you've done it.
You went in quite easy for me there.
Why?
No, I mean, I've got superior football knowledge to you as well, so that does help, but a bit more preparation from you next time.
No, I think just you went a bit hard.
No, I think that you want to get it down to 2 or 3.
Shall I do another one?
No, it's fine. I got that right.
Okay, so what did you get, 4?
I got 4, you got 2.
4-2.
So I'm 4-2 up.
You win. No, I'm not going to add them all up. I just think you win.
I'm 4-2 up. I'm 1-0 up.
Yeah, you're 1-0 up.
Okay.
You win.
Brilliant.
I probably went a bit easy there.
Yeah.
Mine was harder.
To be fair to
yours
you.
Yours was good. Mine was probably a bit too easy.
You should have gone in... You sent over one to me as an example, which you would have used.
Yeah.
Which was
very good.
Do you want to do that for the listeners?
I've got this one. See if you can get this one at home then. Very well thought out, Will, because it is a podcast. So see how quick you could get this one at home. Will's there. Okay. So, Clue one, I played for Manchester United in the late 90s.
Yeah.
Clue two, I played for England.
Interesting.
Clue three,
yes.
I also played for Arsenal.
Wow.
Clue four, I won the Golden Boot once.
Wow.
Would you have got it by now?
I don't know, actually.
And clue five, you would get it.
Yeah.
I left United and played for Blackburn and Fulham, amongst others.
And Birmingham City.
Did he play for Birmingham City?
Yeah, because I interviewed him once and I said, oh, I'm a Birmingham City fan. And he said, I hated my time at Birmingham City.
Who was it?
Andy Cole.
No. Yeah, it was. It was Andy Cole. So, yes, I quite like that better than Football Hangman. Let us know what you think in the chat. A fantastic episode. I've really enjoyed that, Will.
Yeah, it's great to see you in the flesh and touch you and realise you're not an AI robot.
Yeah, thank you. Make sure you give us a follow. Just finally, actually, I should have mentioned this at the start of the show. We have got a Christmas show in Manchester on December the 11th. It's billed as a United Stand show because it's in Manchester, but we are having a section of Goldbridge Saves Football on there. So if you like the podcast and you are going to you want to support it and be there on the night, tickets are available. I don't know whether we can pop the link for that, actually, but if you just type in United Stand Christmas show, tickets are out now and there will be a Goldbridge Saves Football section. So it'd be great to have some Goldbridge Save Football ultras in the crowd when we come on saying, ultras, ultras, ultras. People will be like, what's going on?
Do all your classics, like I'll do my big Ange impression.
Yeah.
You'll do that thing you did of moving.
We've got a good section that's going to be very interactive, so.
Yeah, it'd be good. And hopefully, you know, there's going to be United fans there, but it'd be great to get a bit more representation there.
Yeah. Make sure you give us a follow and leave a check out on the poll. We'll do Rhea Ramsdale as well. And we're back on Friday. It was a good goal. Goldbridge was really good. Wow. So check out the Friday quiz, which is Goldbridge. And obviously a look ahead to the weekend. And I think we've got a really good sort of 11 again to do as well. Thanks everyone for listening. Bye, Will.
Ciao.
Speak to you later.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.